Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I do love coming. I know I tell you every year I take it seriously, but I really do. And I started asking the Lord a few weeks ago, what should I bring? You know, what's on your heart for this body? Because there's always a whole year that goes by between the time that I see you. And I know that God is always doing something in all our lives. So you're not in the same place. I don't expect you to be in the same place that you were last year. And so I don't know what God is doing. So He either has to reveal to me a direction, or we should just go to lunch right now. But a couple of days ago, after I really felt like I had something that the Lord had laid on my heart, Teresa told me that you are in the process of a pretty big change, namely in location. And so that was kind of confirming to me. So I want to talk about something that the Lord has placed on my heart, but I also want to try to bring it into a practical realm where you are at this point. So, Father, I just ask that my communication would be clear, that we would have a fresh word from you in this moment. In your precious, precious name, amen and amen. I first want to tell you something that's really been proven true in my life, and that's change is inevitable. Even if you don't like it, let me just tell you, change is inevitable. There is no change without transition. And there is no transition without an end to what was that's necessary to take us to what is and what is going to be. That, my brothers and sisters, is just a fact of life. That's just the way it works. God has designed that. One of the greatest examples of how God deals with change, there are many, but one is in Luke 2. Do you remember Luke 1 is the whole story of God announcing to Mary that He is about to birth the Messiah into the earth? And we also recollect in that Luke 1 scripture, Mary goes to Elizabeth. Elizabeth is giving the revelation because she's carrying the prophet that's going to announce this incredible change. Luke 2 begins with this. I'm just going to go ahead and read it. And if you'll stay with me, I promise we're going to go somewhere. Luke 2 says this, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Verse 3, "So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city." Jesus is getting ready to release incredible change into the earth. But what happens in the practical realm is that the world, through the hand of the Lord, calls for a census, a regathering, a registering of everyone before they go in to the next thing. And what I want to suggest to you is that not only this body, but I think many of us are in a place of this census. We are being called back, regrouped, to reconsider what are the important things, to come back, to be regrouped and recounted once again. Are we going to be those that are going to go on to the next leg of what God has purposed and decreed? So there's one moment where we regather and we regroup and we reevaluate what things are important. And you remember Mary and Joseph, that's where Jesus was born to fulfill the word of the prophet. But from there, they were very soon scattered to the rest of the world. And then, of course, his life, his 33 years of ministry began to happen. But they had to be brought back together to be recounted as those that would say, yes, Lord, I'm going on to the next thing. Now, I want to suggest to you that change isn't comfortable. How do you know that? Nobody likes change because we get comfortable with what we know. And no one really chooses the unknown. We just don't. We don't like what we don't know. But I also want to suggest to you that there's no way to walk with the Lord without some unknowns. There would be no need for faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So there is no walk of faith without unknowns. What I really believe that the Lord has laid on my heart for you today is a practical tool that can help all of us through change. And that is understanding the language of God and understanding how the speaking of blessing works in our lives. Not just our blessing God, but our blessing one another and blessing the situations that we find ourselves in. So I said all of that about census, regrouping, and change being inevitable as a fact of where we are all walking in the kingdom right now. We don't take kingdom ground without change. We don't take kingdom ground without going. But what I want to give you today is a tool that can help you in the change. Amen? I want to read three scriptures to you. There are many, but I want you just to listen. Hebrews 6, verse 13 through 15 says that when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. 1 Chronicles 17:27 says, for you, Adonai, have blessed, and what you bless is blessed forever. God is a God of blessing. It is his character. It is his nature. It is his desire. And it is his purpose to bless. And what he blesses is blessed forever. His promises are blessing. He's blessed us with all spiritual gifting. He has given us every single thing that we need from the heavenly realm to be blessed while we walk in the earth. Now, Hebrew culture gives us a beautiful picture of blessing. Blessing is an absolute vital part of the Jewish biblical culture. In fact, the Jewish people have designed a whole system of blessing called berachot. And what this berachot is that there is a blessing for every human event that occurs in life. There are over 100 blessings that can be recited. There are blessings upon hearing thunder. There's blessings upon seeing a rainbow. There's blessings upon seeing exceptionally beautiful people. There is blessing for trees, blessing for field. In other words, there are blessings for everything in this book, this Berachot. There's blessings for everything. Every single blessing in this blessing book begins with this Hebrew phrase. Baruch atah Adonai. Baruch means blessed. And so The idea behind it is that because God is sovereign and He is the creator of all things, He is the source of all blessings. So Baruch Atah Adonai is a beautiful privilege that we have to bless this incomprehensible creator of all things. But Baruch also means to extend or to bring down. And so not only do we have this privilege of blessing God, but we have the privilege of bringing down from heaven into the earth, blessing from God into an earthly realm. So it's not just a vertical ability that we have to bless, but we have the ability to take blessing, to take the language of God and release it into the earth, into each other's lives, into situations. So we can bless and we can be a facilitator of bringing blessing down when we speak. Now, when God wants to emphasize the truth, He usually repeats that truth by saying it over again. We know that, don't we? That's inherent in us to give directions over and over and over again because we want to make a point. God knows that as well. But so that's why when we read in Revelation and it says that God is holy, it just doesn't say He is holy, but He is described as holy, holy, holy. God repeats a truth to reemphasize what He's trying to say. Paul tells us this, that in Hebrews 6, God swears by His own personhood, saying, surely blessing He will bless. He is serious about blessing. He keeps repeating this character, this nature of Himself that desires to bless. Paul tells us that if we belong to Messiah, then we are Abraham's children. And if we are Abraham's children, we are heirs of all the promises. That's a no-brainer. But we need to remember that 1 Corinthians tells us that for no matter how many promises God has made, they are ours in Christ Jesus. Numbers 6:25 is a very famous blessing. It is the priestly blessing that God gave to Aaron and to Moses to speak over the people of God. But He is also giving that blessing to this royal priesthood, according to Peter, that we now stand in, that we have this ability to bless. I want to take a few minutes and I want to expound on it. This blessing is not just a nice benediction to wrap up a service or event with. This blessing is spoken in Orthodox and Shabbat keeping homes every Friday night of every week, of every month, of every year. Recently, there was a sociological study done. This was not a religious study. You have to understand this. It was not put on by a church or a synagogue. It was a sociological, cross-cultural, cross-economical study. And this is what the study revealed, that the Jewish people as a culture or as a whole have produced the most successful people that live in the earth. Did you know that? But this is what was interesting that the study revealed, that the single determining factor that was present in each success wasn't economics, wasn't education, wasn't privilege. Do you know what the single thread they found was? That the Shabbat blessing of number six was spoken over those children every single week of their lives. That the name of God was placed on those children every single week of their lives. Didn't matter if they came from a good home, a rich home, a privileged home. They were successful because of the blessing of God that was spoken over them. I want to talk a little bit in detail about this prayer. This Aaronic blessing, as it's called, reveals three distinct parts. There are three times in the blessing that the name of Yahweh God is spoken. Numbers 6:27 explains why. Because the Lord says, so that they will put my name on the Israelites, and when they put my name on them, I will bless them because they bear my name. The first phrase or clause of the prayer says this: the Lord bless and keep you. Now, while that phrase contains five words in English, it's only three words in the original Hebrew language. The number three, many times, represents the trifold blessing of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so this first clause, remember there are three times the name is invoked. This first time the name is invoked is known as the clause that represents the Father's blessing. The Lord bless and keep you. The word bless in Hebrew is an act of benefit on someone. We're calling down an act of benefit for someone. The word to keep in Hebrew is a very interesting word. It means to build a hedge around someone, almost as if you were building a hedge of thorns for protection. It means to guard, to keep safe, to preserve, to protect, and to retain. What the Lord is speaking to this, us to this, I believe, is that when we invoke His name on each other, on ourselves, on our families, our children's, on our houses of worship, on the plans and purposes that God has for us, He promises that that name that's been invoked will bless us and keep us. The Father has promised. He has taken on the responsibility to bless, to protect, to retain, and to keep us. The second clause is known as the Son's blessing. It says, the Lord Yahweh make His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. This clause, though it's many words in English, is only five words in Hebrew. It's sometimes known as the Son's blessing because the number five represents the number of grace. And the word says that grace comes to us through Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Colossians 1:15 says that Messiah is the image of the invisible God. And so this clause represents the Son's grace, Messiah's grace upon us. The word to shine in Hebrew means to be luminous. It means to literally set on fire, to make glorious, to make us as a reflection of the sun. When the grace of the Lord Jesus is invoked on our lives, He has come to set us on fire. He has caused us to become a reflection of the glory of who He is. To make gracious means to be favorable, kind, to make us altogether lovely. The blessing of the second clause of this Aaronic blessing is to invoke the name to bring about a glorious illumination, a reflection of who He is in our lives. I don't know about you, but mostly I find myself hanging with Christians because I teach in churches, I'm on staff at a church, I really interface with Christians. And I think when we see each other so much, we just get numb to the fact of the light of God that shines through us, even when we're just hanging. But this was really brought home to me last year when I was in Israel, and I was in an outdoor market, and I was walking around, and I turned the corner to go to a small vendor, and He was walking toward me, and he looked straight in my eyes, and a very broken Israeli accent said, "You are a believer in Messiah." I mean, I had not opened my mouth. It stunned me. And then he said, "I see it in your eyes." And I, you know, in Israel, the veil still prevails. And he took my hands and he prayed blessing over my life right there in the street. It was an amazing encounter. It only lasted for about, you know, 3 minutes. But it was an amazing encounter to me that, first of all, he recognized me by something that I'm not even aware of. That as I walk, I do carry the light of Christ. I don't have to open my mouth. That I'm a light bearer. That the name of God has been invoked upon me, and that he has promised to keep me, to bless me, but to make me luminous, to make me shine in a dark place, to make me altogether lovely to those that would recognize his light in me. That's the blessing of the grace of the Lord on our lives. The third clause is referred to as the Holy Spirit's blessing. It says, "The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." This clause in Hebrew contains 7 words in Hebrew. Remember, the first clause is only 3 words, the blessing of the triune God. The second clause has 5 words in Hebrew. 5 representative of grace, the grace of the Son of God making us luminous. This last clause, the third clause, the Holy Spirit's clause, 7 words in Hebrew. 7 is the number of the Holy Spirit's perfection and completeness. And so this blessing of invoking the name of God a third time on our lives as a part of the Spirit's blessing on our lives says this: "The Lord turn his face." In Hebrew, it literally means that we beseech the God of the entire universe to turn his face and look at us. The Lord make his face shine upon you is asking God to turn his attention just to you, to turn his face just to you, to invoke his name and bless just you on a one-to-one. To give, in terms of giving, means this. It's not just to give you something. It's to place you in a location. It's to appoint you to a position. See, it's not just about me. It's not to just give you some chills. Although, when the Lord looks at us, it does give us chills. But when he looks at us, he's got a purpose. He's looking to put us into a location, to appoint us to a position, to establish us in relationship with himself, to bring about change, and to set us aside for special purposes. That little Hebrew phrase, "to give you," means all of that. And finally, when the Holy Spirit gives us shalom, it's not just an absence of anxiety. The fullness of the meaning of shalom means to bless with health, with security, with tranquility, with welfare, with success, with comfort, with salvation, with wholeness. It is a complete blessing. So this little benediction that we've heard all our lives, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace." All right. Is not just a simple little nighttime prayer. It's not just a few nice words for a benediction, but it is power that God says we can take from heaven and speak into the earth over our lives, over this next leg of where God is taking us, over the changes that are occurring. Blessing is a powerful tool in the midst of change. who would want to change without his leading? Oh my gosh, that's scarier than dying to me. Moses said, if you don't go with us, I beg you, don't send us out. Don't let us lead. Don't let us walk a step without your presence. Because that's what marks us as different from the rest of the world. It's the only mark. Look how different we are in here. The only thing that marks us the same, that relates us in here, it's not ethnicity. It's not economics. It's not any universal feature. It's the presence of the Lord on our lives. It's the name of God over our keeping, the name of God over our going, the name of God over the change that He has for us. That's what makes it different. The word continuously admonishes us not to only be hearers, but doers. Not only recipients of blessing, but dispensers of blessing. I love that it's not all about me. If it weren't so funny, it would make me cry. Because it isn't about us. It isn't just about receiving until you get so fat you can't move. Because when you get, the fatter you get, the more comfortable, you don't like to move around. You know, you just want, give me, give me, give me. I'm speaking spiritually. You just want to sit and just take it all in. You just want to think about it. But God has not called us just to be holders, but He's called us to be dispensers of this blessing in the earth. 2 Kings 4 gives us an excellent example of being one who dispenses. It's the familiar story of the debt poor woman who was about to lose her sons to slavery. Do you remember this story? Elisha the prophet comes and asks for what oil she has left. And remember, the oil was just a little bit of oil in a flask. But the prophet tells her to gather vessels, to shut herself in, and to begin to pour out into the vessels. And she pours into the different vessels until there are no more vessels to pour into. But from her outpouring, she is given provision that saves her entire family. What I'm suggesting to you today, to all of us, and I am speaking to myself as well, is that sometimes we need to get out from our own desperate need and we need to pour into other containers. And we will discover that as we are dispensers of God's blessing, that our own scant supply is multiplied. I don't know how it works, except that everything in the kingdom is upside down. If you want to go high, you got to go low. If you want to have blessing, you got to give out of your need. The kingdom is upside down. And so I don't know how it works, but I do know that it is a truth that as you pour out to others when you are in need, you will find that your supply, your scant supply, will be multiplied. It's part of this thing called blessing that God has promised He would bless us with. And God is not a man that He should lie.
That's the truth, yeah.
He has promised blessing. It's His nature. It is His character. God, in this census time where we are being regathered to recount, to regroup, to reevaluate, to look once again at what is important. In this time, God is calling us back to a biblical lifestyle. I loved what you said this morning to me, that culture is not going to dictate how you do kingdom business.
Exactly.
And we need to know that in our hearts, that our culture, our Western comfort laden culture. And listen, I live in it too. I like to kick back. But I cannot let my culture that I live in dictate my Christianity. It cannot dictate my biblical lifestyle. God is calling me to the mandates of this lifestyle. And the more, listen, the more we incorporate biblical lifestyle back into our lives, the more power we're going to walk in, the more authority we're going to walk in, and the more blessing we are going to be able not only to receive, but to dispense into a very dark world. Do y'all, are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're so quiet, but I'm hoping it's just because you're just thinking about these things, that I'm confirming things to you that inherently you already know. Sometimes it's not that we need to know anything new. We just need to hear somebody put words around what you're feeling and what's going on inside. And I'm praying that God is giving me words to put around what you already know. What you already know is a mandate that you're getting ready to walk in. It's not like it's new news, but it's reaffirming what you know. There is an ancient rabbi who had this to say. I love this. He whose learning is greater than his good deeds, to what can he be compared? He is like a tree with many branches but few roots. The wind blows and uproots the tree and it topples. But he whose good deeds are greater than his learning, to what can he be compared? He is compared to a tree with only a few branches, but with many roots. Even if all the wind in the world was blowing against it, it could not be uprooted. I am suggesting to you that shallow Christianity is not going to hold us in these next days. It's not going to hold us. But deep-rooted, biblical walking, living, believing every word in this, walking it out, going deep, not big and shallow. So you can go wide and shallow, or you can go narrow and deep. I'd rather be narrow and deep. Because that's what holds you when the winds of change, the winds of adversity come. We're in the fight for the kingdom. And those who take the kingdom, they take it violently. Not because we, you know, not because we're loud and obnoxious and arrogant, but we take it forcefully by listening to what God is saying, by seeing through our spiritual eye what He is doing, by decreeing what He's saying, and by standing. By not giving in, not letting go. We take it by force because we say we will live a biblical lifestyle. I want to do something that I haven't done any other time that I've been here. I've talked about blessing. One of my just very closest friends, it's Doris's husband, has written a book called The Book of Blessing. He spent 4 years just combing through the Word of God. And from Genesis through Revelation, the Lord just began to show him scriptures of blessing for all kinds of things. They're all categorized in the book. There are blessings about redemption, blessings of God's abiding presence, blessings about God's word, God's favor, God's guidance, God's mercy, grace, and compassion, God's protection, safety, His provision over family, for His children, blessings about confrontation, blessings for courage, blessings for destiny and calling, blessings for encouragement, godly character, godly speech, healing and long life, blessings for joy, blessings for ministry and anointing, blessings for peace, rest, and patience, faith and trust. Just about every area that concerns our living in the earth, there is a word from God for everything that we would ever encounter. I have some of these available with me if you want to purchase them, but what Scott did for me is he printed, I just need y'all to help me, he printed blessings on cards for us today. And I prayed over these this morning, and I am just praying that you get the very ones that God is destined for you to get.
Kind of like winning a CD.
And you know what? I think I got the favor of the Lord. I thought that was a sign. Look at there. I am a parable. I won the CD, and I am believing that God knows exactly how, because they're all mixed up. We're going to pass a small stack to everybody. And I am asking you to not let the spirit of timidity rule you. But I want us to, I want to take a few minutes to look at the blessings. And I want you to ask the Spirit of the Lord to highlight someone that you need to speak this blessing for. But I am asking that God would open your eyes so that you can see the resources that He has dispatched to meet your needs as a corporate body. That He would open your eyes for you to see the resources that He's dispatched to meet your need. And secondly, that this body would be earmarked and have a healthy fear of the Lord in order to receive the blessings of all those who fear Him. May the Lord instruct you in this new year in the way that He has chosen for you. Can you imagine how we can change the atmosphere by speaking blessing? Have you seen how the atmosphere was changed immediately with the language of God? It's God's language, His words, His name. And so I want to encourage all of us as we begin to walk in a biblical lifestyle, as we begin to experience the changes that are inevitable, they're inevitable. That instead of fighting against the changes, that we will begin to embrace and believe that God is a blesser of those who fear Him. We don't have to be afraid. He has promised, He is dedicated to keeping us and protecting us. And that as we walk through change, that we would not use our mouths for death, but we would use it to speak life and blessing. I want to leave you with five scriptures. The speech of the righteous is a fountain of life. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the mouth, for the mouth speaks what overflows from the heart. And it is the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich. We will be richer and richer as we speak blessing, as we release blessing to one another, to our circumstances, and we will speak blessings to the changes that are coming. It's always an honor to be here. Thank you. You're a blessing in my life. You're a blessing in my life.